I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Dwell, a Searcy Institute podcast for homeschool moms by homeschool moms. I'm your co-host, Renee Mathis, here with my partner in crime, Karen Kern. Hello, Karen.
Hi, Renee. Good to see you.
It's good to see you, too. And we have a special guest today, and I'm going to let Karen introduce her in just a minute. But before that, I want to tell y'all about a special event coming up for our Dwell listeners in April, and it is our yearly online Dwell conference. This is a conference aimed at women of all ages, homeschool moms, moms in the working world, just everyone. We love having y'all sign up and joining us for these four Wednesday afternoons in April at 3 p.m. Eastern time. You can get specific information on the talk titles at the Searcy website, where you can also register. If you register actually online, then you'll have the chance to listen to the talks afterwards or later, or if you are not able to be there in person, we will give you access to the recordings so you can take advantage of it. Our theme this year is Psalm 90, Establish the Work of Our Hands. And so I'm going to be one of the speakers along with Heidi White, Andrea Lipinski, and Katarina Kern Hamilton. Yeah.
No, actually, Katie's not a speaker. Heather Shirley.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This year, yeah, that's okay. This year, Katarina, she's doing a 6-week intensive on beauty at the same, around the same time starting now. And then we, with the schedule, we could only get like 4 Wednesdays in a row before, you know, between Holy Week and Eastern Holy Week and all the other things we do. And so instead of she speaking and myself, we're having four of you.
All right. Yeah. Karen is going to be our wonderful hostess, and it's always a fun time. So we would love to have y'all join us as we talk about things like wisdom and work and numbering our days, and it's just going to be a lot of fun. So we would love to have y'all. For more information and to sign up, go to the Searcy website. By the way, there's no charge attached to it. We call it pay what you can. So we don't want that to stop anyone from participating. So we would love to see y'all. All right. Well, Karen, I'm going to turn it over to you, and you can tell us about our special guest today.
Okay. Thanks, Renee. So this is a really good segue, because back before COVID, we did the Dwell conference. We called it Kindred at that time. We did them in person. So we would do a couple in Colorado, and we did them in our town of Concord, Charlotte area. And I think it was in 2019. Our guest today, her name is Lily Wilmoth, was at Dwell, or Kindred, and she had a table at which she sold her wares. And at that time, she was making soap and other skincare products. And it was pretty small business at the time, I think, right? You were just selling out of your home or selling at the farmer's market, selling at events like ours. And now she has a full-fledged, very busy life running this business called the Hearth and Homestead Store in Virginia. When I met Lily, she was a very young, newly graduated, newly married teacher at my school, Covenant Classical School, and she and her husband both taught in the upper school there. And then Lily started to have children, and then she started this business, and it took off. And so it's beautiful products that she sells. So welcome, Lily. Tell us a little bit more about your family and where you live, and then we'll get into the Hearth and Homestead Store.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. My name is Lily Wilmoth. My husband, Josh, and I have been married for 10 years now. Seems like a really long time. And we have four kids, and I'm actually due with my fifth in June. So coming up, so it's been a busy 10 years, that's for sure. We have this business, Hearth and Homestead, and it's definitely started out as, first of all, an interest in cleaning up our skincare routine in our own family, especially after my first child was born and I started having all sorts of weird skin problems. But it just grew and flourished into a hobby business, and then from there into a real full-fledged business at this point. So it's really neat to see how it's been growing. Our business, we officially started it back in 2016, and it's just kind of been, you know, a gradual growth thing.
So at first you just made soap, right? So I remember your soaps. Was that the first thing that you jumped into?
Yeah, that was the main part that we started out with soap. Yes, that was the first skincare product I got really interested in making on my own. I've always been a very crafty sort of person. I wanted a challenge, something interesting and new to do, and I decided to get into soap making. And then from there, I realized that there were a bunch of other things that I should be making myself too that weren't available to be purchased in the store. Things that I wanted to use on my skin and on my kids that would be healthier for them and safer for their skin. So we started doing more than soap pretty soon after.
Mm-hmm. Lily, you have a beautiful Instagram account, and I was going to let our listeners know they can follow you at Hearth and Homestead Store on Instagram. I'm assuming that's your website address as well. I want to make sure and get that in there so people know where to find you. But you have a lot more going on than just soap. So tell us more about it. And I'm curious about this thing called, what do you do with tallow? I thought that was a grocery store food item, but you're making things for it with it. So.
Yes, absolutely. So yes, when we initially started the business, I was really interested in soap making specifically, but I wanted to expand a little bit. Initially, I was expanding just for my family's sake. I was making tooth powder, an alternative to toothpaste. I was making lotions and making lip balm and salves and muscle rubs, all that kind of stuff. I was doing that for our family. And eventually I had customers who were interested in getting those things too. So we started adding extra products here and there, saw what worked, saw what didn't work, saw what people liked, what they didn't like, and just kind of decided on certain things to be part of the regular offerings of the business and certain things weren't. Over the past maybe 2.5-3 years, we've had certain specific items become very popular in our business. And one of those is tallow balm, which has been becoming more popular in recent years in general, I think. But initially for us, it became very popular because some of the organizations that we're connected with, like the Weston A. Price Foundation, I don't know if you've heard of them, but they kind of focus on ancestral living practices, you know, kind of going back to what are some things our ancestors did, how did they eat, how did they live, what did they use on their skin, that kind of thing. So we tend to follow in those sorts of circles of people, and they're very interested in any kind of cool ancient customs and what did people used to use on their skin. And we learned about tallow balm through there, and I started experimenting making it myself. So essentially using animal fat as a base for a cream. Or even for, you know, you use it in soap too, or in lip balm or whatever. So we started making tallow balms as a lotion or a balm used on your hands, your feet, or your whole body, your face. It was kind of an experimental thing at first, but it really took off. People really loved these tallow balms. There's lots of other companies that make them these days too. but ours specifically, we wanted to make something a little bit more unique. So we do like an herb infused tallow balm with specific herbs and organic olive oil. And we have scented and unscented varieties using essential oils, that sort of thing. But it's such a great moisturizer because tallow is so close to our skin's own oil makeup. As an animal fat, it's something your human skin can readily recognize and absorb, being made of a similar balance of fatty acids, highly saturated fats, just like human bodies are about 90% saturated fats, only 10% polyunsaturated fats. So things like plant oils that we tend to use on our faces aren't particularly helpful or fast absorbing compared to an animal fat, which is probably a reason our ancestors used it, because they realized, hey, this stuff works really well. And it's convenient, because if you're processing an animal once or twice or more a week, you've got a ton of fat to utilize. Why waste it? So they, of course, use it for soap making, but use it on your body too.
So when you, yeah. I saw a picture, I think on Instagram, where you had, what was it? A crate or a wheelbarrow? I don't know. It was like big pieces of animal fat, right? So how do you go from the raw animal fat to a beautifully packaged, cute little jar that you know, like when I got mine in the mail, it was beautifully packaged. What's the process? What do you do with that? And where do you do this? You do this in your kitchen? So
great questions. Yeah. So, well, we have to source all of our animal fat, which at first was really hard. It was hard to find what we needed. And initially, tallow balm for us had to be something that was a little bit smaller of a part of our product line, because we couldn't find it. Initially, we were looking only locally in our local area, asking all the farms that sell beef, hey, can we have your tallow? Can you give us your tallow, please? A lot of them weren't even selling it. Their processors were throwing it away. So we had to start getting our local farms to save it from the processor and give it to us. And then over time, we were able to actually find great suppliers of grass-fed, really high quality beef fat that we could use. So what we get now that we have a lot, we basically are getting giant hunks of beef suet. So suet is a special part of the fat from a cow. It's not just like fat from the back or fat from the muscles. It's actually internal fat that encases the kidneys. And all animals have this kind of fat in our bodies. Even humans, we have this special layer of fat around our internal organs and kidneys as well. So on a cow, that fat can be like 2 feet long and, 8 inches wide. And it's kind of encasing the kidneys. So when they process the animal, they have to take that fat out. Often they'll take all the internal organs out at once with that fat and just chuck it. So we're asking them to hold on to that for us and keep it. So what you see in our Instagram is pictures of that kidney fat and what we get when they send it to us. So they freeze it and send it in giant pallets to us. And then what we have to do is go through every piece of it, make sure it's the right quality and texture that we need. It gets ground up and then it gets melted down very carefully at low temperatures to preserve as much of the nutrients as possible.
And do you do that?
And from there, yeah, we do all of that. And then from there, we filter it, and then it's used in our products. And that's really it. And that's how our ancestors did it too. That's really all it is taking the animal fat, processing it, melting it or rendering it, and then using it in your skincare. And the goal is to try and do the most minimal amount of processing possible, because that does preserve all the good stuff in it. And especially with that internal fat, that's where the animal stores most of the nutrients they're absorbing from the food. Anything that doesn't go straight into the bloodstream is being stored in the fat. And that, of course, means if they're eating bad stuff, the toxic stuff, that toxic stuff is also getting stored in fat, which is even more of a reason you want 100% grass-fed, pastured animal fat, as opposed to, stuff with chemicals, stuff from animals that aren't leading happy lives, essentially. So that's why we really prioritize sourcing in all of our stuff.
Lily, do you have, I know a lot of our listeners are like you, they're moms with young babies, little babies. What kinds of things do you recommend using for the little ones as opposed to what, you would normally get at the baby aisle at Target?
Right. That's a great question. And the same things that I was wrestling with initially when I had my first baby, and I was feeling super hyper aware of everything that was going on him or into him. I was very concerned about all of that. Absolutely, we should be. So first of all, the first thing you might think about with your newborn is, do I need to wash my baby? What do I use to wash my baby with? Well, what we would recommend, first of all, is not using soap at all with a newborn to protect that microbiome as it's developing. But if you get to a point maybe where your baby's a month or 2 months old, or if you're dealing with any weird yeasts and growths, things like that, or really dirty blowout, use soap, but it has to be unscented. Honestly, you don't want any fragrances. And that's something we have been propagandized to believe is great, is any kind of lavender fragrance or something like that. A lot of the time, though, the stuff you're getting at the store is artificial. It's not real. Companies don't want to spend money on real essential oils and real quality ingredients. So they get the cheapest thing they can, which is like the artificial fragrance. And they tell us, oh, this is baby safe and this is pediatrician approved. And they have all the little check boxes marked on their marketing. But that doesn't mean that it's actually safe and it's actually helpful for your baby's skin. So for example, like if you look on our site, you'll see we have certain unscented soaps that we recommend for babies. Like a goat's milk soap, something plain and simple is great. Just minimally, not all over the baby, but on the parts that need cleaning is generally what I would do at least at first. And of course, moisturizing. Yes, you'll want to make sure your baby is fully moisturized and nourished. And if you want to do any kind of baby massage or something like that, you again want to stick with unscented stuff. Don't expose your baby to all these chemicals. And even in essential oils, there's different, all sorts of different chemicals that we don't really need them exposed to yet. So we, for example, we have tallow balm. We also have like a nipple and cradle cap balm, which is really useful. And we also have a diaper cream. All of those products are unscented, but we infuse with herbs. Those are the sort of things our ancestors would have used. They would have infused to get those excellent benefits and sometimes medicinal qualities from the herb at a very gentle level. That's not going to disrupt the skin microbiome too much, but should be really helpful for whatever need you have at that moment. So those are a few things I think of offhand.
Yeah. You've got them covered from head to toe and everything in between.
So I noticed that you have sets, you'll have a postpartum set maybe, and you have a newborn set, caring for mom, caring for baby, and all of those things are in it. And you can order that as it makes a really nice gift set.
Yeah. We do offer a couple different sets of products so you can get a bunch of things at once. Yeah. We also have stuff separately and individualized too. Like for moms, we have a Zitz Bath herbal blend, which is basically just a blend of organic herbs, and that you can make a tea, essentially, with a very strong tea. And then postpartum, if you're dealing with any pain or discomfort down below, you can just sit in this tea, and it's really good to help soothe pain, inflammation, redness, and that kind of thing. So those kinds of products are really important too. It's stuff we don't always think about. A lot of the time when we're thinking about mom having a baby, we're thinking about the diaper cream and thinking about cute baby clothes, but we're not really thinking about mom and what she needs for her recovery. So that's definitely a really important part as well that we try to think about with what we sell. Stuff I needed when I was recovering and I didn't have, I've tried to put out there for people so that they have them.
Yeah.
Lily, I'm curious about this. So you met Karen when you were both teaching at the classical school there in Concord. And so how did that prepare you for owning your own business? Because I think you were teaching English, correct? And English and literature. So now you are an entrepreneur, a businesswoman, and a mom. And we'll talk about that, about, you know, raising a family in the middle of a very lively home business. What did the classical world do to prepare you for this adventure?
That's a good question. I think partly growing up in a classical school myself, I was always having to get called on and say things and to talk, you know, and even when you're not comfortable doing it. So that's something I feel like I'm always having to do now, is have something really great to say at a moment's notice of questions that you didn't know were coming. I think the classical education, personally for me, influenced me in that way, to be able to speak up and say things I need to say in that moment. I know that's something, it's funny, I think my husband particularly does not like being put on the spot to have to answer questions. And he looks to me to do that. And I wonder if that's, it can be a personality thing too, I'm sure. But I do wonder too, if partly I can thank my classical education for that ability, maybe. When it comes to classroom stuff, having been the teacher myself, having been in the classical school setting, I think overall, the big lesson I learned teaching was how to interact with people who are different than me. So many parent interactions, so many student interactions, people of all ages that I had to get along with, that I had to compromise with in many cases, that I had to explain things to in different ways. And of course, definitely there's tons of stress in the teaching environment and so much organization and so many things that you are called upon to do all at once, I think. And I do think that that was really helpful preparation for our business that we're running.
So let's transition just a little bit. That was a good question to end that on. And talk about how you do this in your home with your small children, because they're not all that old, right? Your oldest is what, 8? 7?
Yeah, Josiah's 7. Yeah.
And so you are homeschooling him and maybe the next one, and you're running this business somehow, doing all that. And I know that there are lots of listeners who maybe are in the same boat with you. They also are trying to run a business or thinking about running a business. So what tips might you have for somebody who is new to this and is thinking about it?
Great question. Yes. So I think the first and most important thing for me at this present stage we're in, which is a very busy stage, a lot of growth, sudden growth, and it's different every week, is delegating. Delegating is so important. I have to decide what things are my high priority. What do I actually personally have to do in my home? What are things that I can delegate to other people? Whether it's paying somebody to come and clean my house, or getting a meal kit delivery service so that I can quickly make food, or if I can teach my son to make lunch so that he can take care of that for the siblings, or if I can hire somebody to do something smaller for the business that I don't need to be overseeing directly, that they can just be working on it throughout the day. Stuff like that is so important, because you're only one person, right? And moms already, even if you're not running a business, you're still having to do everything. You've got to do the laundry and clean the house and cook the food and look after the children and to run the errands and look after yourself and still be present for your husband and still love your kids and read them stories and teach them. There's just so many elements to motherhood all the time. You don't have to be every single one of those jobs. You don't have to. Some of them are not critical. Some of them are. So be there for the critical ones, or the ones that aren't critical. Find a way to delegate it. That's my top advice, I would say.
That's good advice. Are your kids that are old enough to be involved at all in the business?
Somewhat. I think a lot of what we're doing involves high precision. So it is tricky to have little ones who want to be involved, but there isn't a whole lot that they can do. But here and there, we will find little jobs that they're able to do. Like my son and my daughter, they were able to put boxes together for me, which was easy for them to accomplish without causing any kerfuffles. And sometimes putting stickers on things, if something with a label sticker, that's easy to just stick on a box or stick on a bubble bag. They can do that too, or bringing packages up to the front step that have to go out in the mail. Those sorts of things they're really great with helping them.
Do you have a designated part of your house? Like you live in a farm, right, in Virginia. So do you have a big farmhouse?
It's like a ranch style house with two floors. So we have a finished basement at this time. A good portion of our basement is dedicated business space. So that's kind of how we're doing it. And we do have employees who come in and work in the basement and are doing stuff for us that we need done. However, one big blessing that we have coming up is we're able to build a separate building for the business, which is supposed to be happening this spring and summer. We're supposed to get that done, which would be wonderful.
You'll have water there and electricity, and you'll be able to keep it completely out of your own living space.
Yes. And I think that'll be such a big help for us because it is hard to kind of keep spaces separated. I'm sure you can understand, especially with the little ones who are nearby, getting into things and trying to help, but it's not always helpful. Or getting into products and opening them and trying to play with them. That's definitely been an issue in the past. So we're really happy to be able to move the business out of the house, and it'll still be right there. It's going to be right next to our house, but it'll be a separate space. It'll be good also to be able to have our people who are hired over there and not right in my hair all the time, which is really nice too, I think.
Yeah. Do you outsource your bookkeeping? You know, because I would think that, like, you know, making soap and being creative takes one set of skills, and then, you know, making sure all of your taxes are in order and all of that's a completely different set of skills. So do you have both those? Maybe Josh has one.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Well, we have some people that we hire to do accounting and like marketing and different things like that who take care of different elements of things for us. But overall, honestly, Josh and I handle most of everything by ourselves. So we're still small enough as a business that we have control over most elements of everything. But we're getting to a place where we're outgrowing that. So we're trying to kind of slowly bring in the right people to handle various elements of the business. It's just kind of a tricky thing, especially when you haven't done it before and you don't have education in that stuff to figure it all out. So we're just kind of learning as we go, I think, to a degree. That's why we have so many late nights right now, too, because we're still the main people creating the products. That's what we do. A lot of our time is spent in product creation. And our employees are labeling and packing and shipping and stuff like that. But yeah, it's definitely still growing pains right now.
So you're selling on Amazon, I notice, and it just seems like it's growing so much. What do you attribute that to? Is there just a culture of people like eager for all natural products? Do you think that's really making you grow?
I do think so. When we first got on Amazon, it was the end of 2022. And I think it was just kind of the best time to start because it was just at that time that there was a surge in that interest in natural skincare products, and especially in tallow balms and tallow-based skincare. It started happening around that time. So now, for example, if you go on Amazon and you Google and just search tallow balm, they'll come up with, you know, 12 to 15 different companies selling, which is kind of funny. But back then, there was maybe three or four of us, maybe. So it is interesting to see how it's really flourished over the past few years, the interest in skincare that's clean, that doesn't have toxic ingredients, doesn't have preservatives, There's definitely a raging interest in these things right now.
Do you still get a chance, like Karen mentioned, you have farmers markets and exhibit in different places. Do you still get a chance to go out and do that? Do you enjoy that, meeting people face to face? And or is that something that you think, well, with the little baby coming and the kids being small, do you, you know, delegate that to some other people?
Yeah, I do really enjoy being at markets. We are still at our local farmers market, but it's not always me personally there running the market. I have someone who's been working with me for, I think, almost three years now, and she knows this stuff just as well as I do. And she runs our market for us most of the time. But when it comes to big events and events out of town, we do those personally. We actually, one of our big tallow suppliers is Polyface Farm up in Stanton. I don't know if you guys have heard of like Joel Salatin. He's a big guy in like regenerative agriculture. But we get a lot of our suet from them, and we do events up there all the time. They run different homesteading and homeschooler mom kind of events throughout the year. And I like to be up there for those for my own educational sake, which is awesome. But of course, also to be there with Hearth and Homestead, meet new people, meet new customers. And that's always lots of fun too. So yeah, for me, I really enjoy talking to people, and I enjoy being out there in person. It gives people a chance to try things on their skin and really see everything in person, which is a great opportunity too.
Do you have some favorite resources for people who want to learn more about this? Like, are there books or authors you'd recommend, or I don't know, websites, or is your own website, do you feel like, is educational for people who want to learn more about natural skincare and the advantages and so forth?
That's a good question. There's not a whole lot out there in the way of written books and resources that I can think of offhand. It's funny because when you think about especially ancient skincare, they didn't have really dedicated medical literature for quite a lot of history up until the medieval era that talked about skincare very much. But here and there, you can get bits and pieces from them, which is fun. I did a presentation last fall at a conference talking about ancestral skincare, and I tried to kind of go back and pull a bunch of resources from ancient history going back to the ancient Greeks. And you can see a lot of neat bits and pieces here and there. One of these days, I'll have to put it up on the website so people would like to look at that. But yes, we do have some articles up on our blog on our website where you can read a little bit about like the benefits of tallow and what's good for a baby's skin, that sort of thing. Most of the stuff that you're going to find on skincare, you can find by doing a Google search, I think, generally these days. But of course, you want to pick and choose your resources in general, I think. And it can be tricky, I think, to find good sources when it comes to skincare. So I think overall, what I usually recommend moms to do, especially if you're new into it and you're not really sure how to change over from the stuff at Walmart to handmade skincare, try to go for simpler ingredients. If you're reading a label, think about, okay, how many of these words do I know what they mean? Are there any words in this list that look really long and weird? That doesn't necessarily always mean it's a bad thing, but especially if you're looking to simplify your skincare routine, avoid the fragrances, avoid stuff with preservatives and emulsifiers and extra stuff that you don't need. Keep it simple. Keeping it simple is never going to hurt. And that's my recommendation to start.
Good advice.
Yeah. So we've been going about 30 minutes here, and just finish off by telling us how people can get in touch with you. We talked about your Instagram page and your website, but just tell us again how people can find you.
Yes, absolutely. So the best way to get in touch with us is probably through our website. It's generally me personally answering emails or questions from customers. So I get them right on my phone. Anytime somebody has a question, night or day, I'm generally seeing it and I'll respond as soon as I can. If you go to our contact page on the website, hearthandhomesteadstore.com, you can ask any questions there. But of course, if you're on social media, Instagram or Facebook, we're on there too, Hearth and Homestead. And you can see our symbol is a weather vane with a rooster on it. That's us. And yeah, we're pretty active on there. We try to keep up with the Joneses on social media best we can there and try to post pictures and videos and things that we're working on just to keep everybody in the know.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for being here with us today. It's really great to see you. We get to see each other on the screen and it's lovely. And we wish you all the best with your business, with homeschooling your growing family, with being a wife as well, and, you know, active in all these different areas, and with a baby coming in June. So thank you for being with us. It's great to see you. And here's to home.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.